Today on Real Life Radio.
Bring forth fruit worthy of your repentance, meaning I see that I need God. See, John's message was never a message of salvation. It was a message of I need repentance, I need salvation, I need it. But he didn't grant it. Jesus will grant it. John got them ready for it. And that's always the first word of the gospel, always.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, What Shall We Do? The Gospel of Luke, one of the four Gospels that gives us the important details and key events surrounding the birth of Christ and his purpose here on earth. You see, Luke gives us Jesus Christ in a way that prepares us for eternal life. Now here in chapter 3, we find John the Baptist and his ministry arriving on the scene. Now John the Baptist ministry was preparing the way for Christ himself, for repentance and the forgiveness of sin. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that John the Baptist was very clear that he was not the Messiah, and it's not a Jewish heritage that can save you. Even being a descendant of Abraham will not get you into heaven. Turning away from our sin and to follow after Christ and he alone is the only thing that we can do to be saved. Now in his message called, What Shall We Do? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Those who are heading toward eternal life, it's a very little traveled road. It's very narrow. It's very difficult. He said, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Wow. You say, Jack, aren't you concerned about saying these things and people not coming back? I am not. And I'll tell you the reason why. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. See, I'm just to give the word of God, and his people will respond, and those that are not his people will not respond. I mean, I truly have no effect in any of this. I'm simply the messenger. And Jesus says, when my word is spoken, my sheep who hear me, they're going to respond. You see? See, whenever there's a big crowd, it can be actually kind of dicey. Because who's on the broad path? It's easy to come to a church this size. There's nearly 3,000 people sitting here right now. It's easy to hide. But who are we really? God knows. And John, as a prophet of God, somehow had a great discernment or feel that there were those in the gathering not true, not actually real. So verse 8, he says the key. Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Now listen to this. And please hear me out. Don't be offended by what I'm about to say. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Did you hear that, everyone? John is Jewish. The audience, predominantly Jewish. Apparently, based upon John's word, who are they leaning upon for their identification with God? Anybody? Abraham. A prophet of God shows up on the scenes, predominantly, not all, but predominantly Jewish people come out to see him, and John says, bring forth proof of your repentance toward God. And listen, and don't pull the racial card on me. John is saying this. Don't pull the racial card that you're connected to Abraham. I don't want to hear it. You show proof of the fact that you believe in God based upon your act of repentance now, that you are absolutely grievous over your sin. And don't tell me that you can live a sinful life and then pull the race card of Abraham. You live like this all the rest of the days of the week, and then you pull the Abraham card on one day of the week. John is saying, don't do that. God sees right through that. Don't do this all week long and then grab this card and say, well, I have a Calvary Chapel get out of jail card. Not going to work. Well, I have a Lutheran, I'm forgiven automatic card. Not going to work. Do you understand that you're not going to get to heaven based upon anything other than your pure, unadulterated dependence upon what Jesus did on the cross and the fact that he rose again from the dead? You trust him, that's it. Yeah, but Pastor, how about if I do that and do everything else I can to be good? Not going to work. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, you have in fact fallen from grace when you add anything to the work of Christ. It's Jesus Christ alone that did all the work for us on his cross. Amen. And you can't say, you know what? I'm a child of Abraham. I have a Jewish background. Or you might say, well, I'm a child of Muhammad. I'm a Muslim. Not going to work. Look, church, you know when Paul the Apostle says in the book of Philippians, I've got this to boast about, I got that to boast about, I was circumcised on the eighth day from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, perfect, and concerning the zeal, you know, persecuting the church, all these, you know, Paul said all that stuff. And I thought about that in preparation for this message. You know what? There's an evangelist that led me to Christ. Oh, not just any evangelist. Greg Laurie led me to Christ. Oh, it wasn't only Greg Laurie that led me to Christ. The first pastor teacher I ever heard in my life was Chuck Smith, who Billy Graham says is his pastor. Wow. Whew. I was led to the Lord by Greg Laurie, and I was taught by Chuck Smith, Billy Graham's pastor. Woo. Not only that, but I was in Chuck Smith's office when he got up from behind his desk and put his hands on my shoulder and prayed and anointed and ordained me and signed the documents of ordination in his own office by his own hand. Woo! We start a home Bible study, six people, gross to thousands of people. Woo! Do you think that matters? Do you think somehow there's a little reserve section for me in heaven? No, in fact, with all of that grace and favor from God, I'm probably in more trouble. What are we boasting in? Anything other than our faith in Christ, we're in trouble. Don't say to me that you've got this person or that person, Abraham or whoever to trust in. And John anticipates, he says, don't tell me. Pretty powerful stuff, huh? John's strong. Why? He loves them. He wants them to come to the truth and not hide behind something. And so the Bible says to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. A very powerful statement that Jesus said in Matthew 7:16. He says, you'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from a thorn bush or figs from thistles? The answer, of course, is no. Even so, every good tree that brings forth good fruit is a good tree. A bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Neither can a good tree produce bad fruit. He says, you'll know them by the fruit that's produced. He goes on to say, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Matthew 7:21, listen to this, everybody. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter heaven. Do I have your attention now? These are the words of Jesus Christ himself. Have you ever, I have you ever called him Lord? I have. Because I call him Lord, does it guarantee that I'm going to heaven? Well, let me read on. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. That's it. The will of my Father. What is the will of my Father? Jesus said, believe on him whom God has sent. And that is a faith and a belief that makes a difference. Listen, many will say to me in that day, that's the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Church, listen, have you prophesied in the name of Christ? These people have, Jesus is speaking about. And they'll cast out demons. Have you cast out demons? These people he's talking to, they cast out demons. They did many miraculous works in his name. Have you done many miraculous works in his name? You say, Jack, you're scaring me. Well, listen, there's good news in the end, but just hang on. He says, then I will turn to them and declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. They go to hell. You say, how can that happen? They preached in his name. They didn't know him. They used his name. And because they used his name was invoked, and God loving the poor, precious person on the other side of their abusive ministry, if this nut is praying for this sick little old lady, God apparently will heal and will do a miracle. He'll do it over the head of that shyster, that charlatan. And in the end, they're going to stand there and say, wait a minute, did we do great miracles in your name? Do you see, church, stay with me here. Do you hear what they're saying? Hey, come on, let us in. We've done a lot of great stuff. We had worldwide ministries. Come on, everybody knew my name. You say, Jack, that's a little harsh. Oh, I'm just getting started. You want to know what harsh is? Jesus himself sent out 12 men to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. Can you give me one name among the 12 who never made it to heaven? Do you know what his name is? His name's Judas. He did the miracles, and yet he never made it. Doing miracles does not take you to heaven. Do you trust Christ? Don't say to me that you've got some miracle that you've done, thus God's got to let you in. I will not be able to say to him, thousands came to Calvary Chapel. Lord, let me in. If I'm trusting in anything other, I'm in trouble. And I plead with you today. And on the foundation of the words of John the Baptist, listen, bring forth fruit worthy of your repentance, meaning I see that I need God. See, John's message was never a message of salvation. It was a message of I need repentance. I need salvation. I need it. But he didn't grant it. Jesus will grant it. John got them ready for it. And that's always the first word of the gospel, always. And so, with perfect sarcasm, John says, don't pull this on me. I want to put up a slide, and I want you to read this. It's by Charles Spurgeon, and the reason why I'm doing this, I didn't have the guts to read it on my own. You'd have been angry with me, so I want you to read this with me, if you would, if they're on the screen. This is Charles Spurgeon, known as the preacher of preachers, probably the greatest teacher of God's word in the last 500 years. Listen to what he says. If in your life you think yourself to be a Christian and yet you still harbor various sins of choice, then you may well be in peril. If today you hold some vices dear that are grievous to the heart of God, and that if, truth be told, these vices have now become comfortable to you, you've tolerated them, you're not fighting against them anymore, you allowed them to exist in your life, even justified and defended by you, then there is a good chance that you are not a Christian at all, but only someone who seeks to cover over their guilt and shame with acts of religion. You guys, that sounds just like John the Baptist to me. And I would say this is a word to modern America today. We seek a Band-Aid instead of surgery. It looks real good for a while, but eventually the cancer will surface. And Spurgeon is saying, you know what? It's a dangerous moment when we take some of these vices and we begin to justify them. I'm only human. Come on, everybody's got their thing. And you begin to entertain it. And it's painted and hidden in a black box and you pull it out from time to time. And you're not willing to throw the black box away. You're not willing to deal with it. Did you know that the Holy Spirit will honor what John the Baptist has said, and he'll speak to you and I, and he'll say, deal with this in your life. Deal with this where you're at. Deal with that pride, or deal with that anger, or deal with that lust, or deal with that violence. The Spirit of God speaks like that to my life or to your life. But it's a dangerous day when we don't hear him say that anymore, and we trump him with justification of our secret vice. John says, bring forth the fruit that you want now to change your mind. It's called repentance. It's a painful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's necessary for eternal life. Before we press on, think for a moment, what is it in your life that needs to happen? What needs to be uprooted and cut down or taken out? Look at verse 9. And even now, John says, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown to the fire. This word, again, Luke is so vivid. He uses a word, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. This is amazing. Are you ready for this? It shows a harvester, or not a harvester, we would say a lumberjack, you know? A man who would cut down trees. The word that Luke uses is a guy with an axe, and he's in motion. And right before, just a millimeter, a centimeter, from the axe hitting the tree where it meets the earth, you know, the trunk hits the ground, there's a freeze frame. That's what the word means. The axe is just a hair's breadth away from the tree. It means that judgment is coming, and it's going to just absolutely cut down that which is not necessary, that which is unfruitful. Jesus said, listen to me carefully, we're almost done. Jesus said in a parable that he taught to the people, he said, there was once a man who owned a field, and he planted the field with good seeds. And he watered it and tended it and took care of it. And the field began to grow. And as it was growing, nearing maturity, his servants came to him and said, Master, did you not plant good seed in your field? And he says, well, yes, I did. And they said, there's tares in the field. Now, tares look just like wheat. But listen, when cooked or boiled, they release a toxic. But they look just like wheat. You can't tell them apart. And so they said, you know what? We discern that there's imposters among this all, this beautiful field, Master, that you've planted. Listen to what they said. Do you want us to go and uproot them out and get them away from the true wheat? And the Master said, no, don't do that. Wait until the end of the harvest season. When the end of the harvest has come, cut everything down. Take my wheat and put it into my barn. Take those tares and bind them up and cast them into the fire and burn them. Because I do not want you to pull what you think is a tare and inadvertently pull up true wheat. Jesus went on to explain the parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Satan sows among the true believers, false believers. And it would be wrong for me to come down here today and say, oh, you know what? I'm going to come and I'm going to, oh, look, you get out of here. And you got a weird look in your eye. You go too. And your Bible's too small or your Bible's too big. Get out of here. I can't do that. Only God knows where you're at. You know where you're at and God knows where you're at. I can't know where you're at. So what do I do? What am I supposed to do? Preach the word in season and out, day in, day out. And in the end, Jesus went to explain that parable. The gatherers are the angels. The end of the harvest is the end of the world. The tares are false believers. The wheat, they're my children. Do you hear how serious this is? Paul the Apostle warned in the last days, deceivers and false prophets and teachers would come and deceive many. If it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived, Jesus said. You know what that word means, by the way? Cheer up. It means it's impossible for the very elect to be deceived. Did you know that? That's good news. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Not popular words I'm sharing. We end with these. So the people asked him, verse 10, what shall we do then? And he said, if you got two turbans on your head or two coats, give it to somebody who doesn't have anything. Tax collector said, what do we do? Don't take unnecessary amount of taxes because they used to steal from people. Rome wants 3%, so I'll take another 3%. Give us 6%. And the tax collectors kept 3%. The soldiers came. Don't intimidate people. Stop threatening people. And by the way, you Roman soldiers, be happy with your income. Stop whining about it. What's John saying? Simply this. It's no big deal. Repent, and if you are truly repentful, then look around at those in need. Look around at those that are hungry. And look around at those that are scared. And help them out. You know what John is saying? Just love one another, will you? Even in the midst of this fiery message from John, he gives us practical education. Love people. The result of you repenting en route to salvation, soften your heart, will you? And stop living for yourself and stop worrying about your pay, he tells them. Be content with what you have. This is good stuff. What shall we do? What shall I do? Church, I'll end with this. I said this recently, and I'll say it again. I heard the gospel preached for the first time in my life when I was 19 years old. When Greg Laurie was given that word, you guys, I was just like maybe someone who's here today. I walked in, cool, that's kind of neat. What is this place? Oh, well, cool music. Anyway, can't understand a word they're saying, but it's kind of nice. Everybody's my age. That's kind of neat. A lot of people. Wow. Some guy comes out with a book lined in gold. What is that? This hippie opens up the Bible. Greg Laurie begins to teach from Revelation 20:11. Talks about those going to hell. Yikes, that's me. He went down a list of how do you qualify to get into hell. I was well qualified. All of a sudden, in a room of thousands of people, it just became him and I. When he began to talk about all this stuff, that was me. My goodness, what should I do? What do I do about this? And Greg, so by the power of the Spirit, as John, led me to the precipice, the brink of total destruction, in a sanctuary in a wonderful building in Orange County. As I sat there, I was at the brink of hell. And the Spirit came from that word and from the lips of that evangelist into my heart, and I knew I was in trouble. And inside I was crying, what shall I do? And then by the time he got to the end of that message, and now, if you want to have your sin forgiven and have your name written in the book of life, then make this decision. No one had to say, come on, Jack, you can do it. Come on, buddy. I turned over for some help to this person next to me, and I said, will you go forward with me? And that person said, you got to do this on your own. That was a good word. Didn't feel good at the moment, but it was a good word. I got up trembling. I was terrified, but I got news for you. I didn't feel anything when I prayed that prayer. If you repeat after me, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so what? But I meant it. I didn't get a goosebump. I wasn't bawling. I didn't know quite what was going on. I just knew I was in trouble with God. And when I walked away that night, something had happened in my life. I didn't really realize it till about 24 to 72 hours later. I began to think different. It was almost like someone else was living inside of me. And that's exactly what had happened. The Holy Spirit moved inside my life. And I've never been alone from that moment on. I've never worried about my sins, past, current, and future. Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And I tell you, when He said, my sheep, my lambs, they hear my voice and they follow me, I understood then. I didn't understand. In fact, I got to tell you, yesterday Steve May said something profound, and may I never forget it. I heard God speak that night. Oh, I didn't hear the thundering voice of what I think God would sound like. I heard the word of God open and it was read, and I heard that. You want to hear God speak? Read the Bible out loud to yourself. Hear God speak. You want to hear God speak? Read the Bible out loud to yourself and hear God speak. I heard God speak that night. My only regret is I'm sorry that I waited till I was 19 years old to make that decision. Will you decide today? What shall you do? With your pornography, with your adultery, with your pride, with your anger, with your lust, with your covetousness, what shall you do with it? God says, give me all that stuff that's killing you. Give me all that stuff that's hurting you. All of that stuff, give it to me. And He'll take it from you. What shall you do? Do that and live. Real
life. Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in his message called, What Shall We Do? Thanks for being with us today. What Shall We Do? Is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke, one of the four Gospels of the New Testament, and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, there's something you do not want to miss. Futures Conference is back September 30th through October 1st. This event is sure to help you better understand what the future holds according to the Bible. Speakers include Pastor Jack Hibbs, Amir Tsarfati, Charlie Kirk, and Jeff Kinley. Join us for the free live stream for yourself, or maybe even for your church group. You can do that at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.